Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter, and joining us today is Eric Parkinson, CEO of Target Development Group. The company trades on the pink sheets, and the ticker symbol is TDGI. Thanks for joining us today, Eric.
Thanks for asking me.
Great, anytime. Now, your subsidiary, which is Hanover House, which you're also the CEO of, recently acquired 10 video titles, and including six new releases. Can you bring us up to speed on that?
Well, yeah, I think you're referring to a press release from Friday, December 18.
Right.
The company has the operating division of Target, and the company that was acquired is Hanover House, which is a California corporation formed in 1993 under the name Truman Press Incorporated. The library for Hanover House consists of about 150 titles, motion pictures, videos, and a few literary properties. The company was originally a book publisher. I acquired the company. I purchased it from the shareholders in 2002 and added DVDs and film to the existing library of literary properties. Last Friday, we announced 10 titles that were recently acquired, and that's really nothing out of the ordinary for our business. We're one of only 12 distributors in the United States that is a full-service distributor, meaning that we sell directly to the major chains. The major chains are divided in two categories, either rental stores or sell-through stores. The big sell-through accounts are like Walmart, Target, Best Buy, and that's where consumers will go in and buy a DVD. And the big rental accounts are Blockbuster, Movie Gallery, Hollywood Video, Netflix. These are places where people will rent a DVD or a Blu-ray for a limited number of days. And, of course, the book business continues to be strong for the company, and we sell to bookstores, schools, and libraries. So, the titles that we acquired and announced on Friday are not particularly noteworthy in that there is no movie in there of the ilk of a Titanic. But
right.
they're the meat and potatoes kind of core business that make up our 2010 release slate. And in 2010, the company is structured so that every month we're releasing at least two new feature films or video titles to the DVD and Blu-ray market. And then every quarter we're releasing at least one new release book and at least one theatrical title. The theatrical titles are really the big, exciting, sexy movies with the well-known stars and the big production values. And those are the titles that we think are ultimately going to define the perception of Hanover House and Target Development Group, you know, the brand name titles that everybody recognizes. So there's a lot of exciting activity happening, and we're happy that Hanover is now part of a Target Development Group, because the structure of being part of a publicly traded entity creates a lot of growth opportunities for us. It creates a lot of credibility and a certain degree of financial stability. And for our producers, it creates a higher degree of confidence that the accounting and the reporting are going to be done in a timely and accurate manner. In the film distribution business, that's an important consideration.
Well, great. And now you also talk about your distribution venture with Elite Entertainment and Focus Films.
Elite is a company that has about 40 titles, mostly in the science fiction and horror genres, and they needed greater access to the marketplace. And under our new merger with Target, we wanted to have more titles. So it was a good relationship for the two of us to come together. Elite has a sister label called Focus Film, and Focus Film is I think if you had to generally characterize the label, you would say that it's predominantly multi-packs, but they're highly commercial multi-packs, things like the Sherlock Holmes collection, for example, that have great collectability where you can get 10 titles, you know, for packaged together for one affordable price. And those, you know, and not meant in any way to disparage or discredit the credibility of the Elite Focus Film libraries, those are meat and potato kind of titles.
Those mid-tier.
Yeah, the mid-tier titles, and you know, they really enhance our corporate cash flow and provide good stability for the company. But again, they're not going to define the company. People are not necessarily going to be aware of the company because we have a Sherlock Holmes 10-pack, for example. However, you know, we're pursuing parallel paths with our 2010 release slate. We're building a solid financial base with as large and diverse a library as possible, and that generates daily cash flow and daily sales. And then we're looking for those gems, those diamonds in the rough of titles that deserve a theatrical release and have the potential of breaking out and doing some serious business. Some people were intrigued by the fact that one of my more notable positions in the film entertainment industry was 5 years as CEO of Hemdale Communications. And at Hemdale, we specialized in films that had the potential of breaking out, and many times our films did break out. We were the company behind Terminator, behind Platoon, The Last Emperor, Hoosiers, and over 100 other titles. And at this time in the U.S. marketplace, there's no one doing that kind of business model anymore. There's no other independent studio that is looking for high-end films that have the potential of breaking out, but yet aren't of the ilk that the major studios are looking at. The major studios, you know, bless their hearts, they have hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of available production funding and credit lines. They would much rather come out with a movie like Lord of the Rings than take a chance on a movie like a Juno or a Napoleon Dynamite. And frankly, that's not an unwise business for them to be in, but it's an extraordinarily cash-intensive business. We think that they're leaving a lot of money on the table by ignoring the market segment for the films that have ultimately, in many cases, turned out to be the Oscar winners, the films that have gone on and become classics in American cinema, these mid-level independent films. So we really are trying to position the company to be the home for quality independent cinema.
Well, great. And you guys are you're looking to acquire Hemdale?
Well, yes and no. Hemdale is the big valuable asset, I suppose, of Hemdale was its large film library, which was merged into MGM back in 1996. Mm-hmm. But the company does have a tremendous amount of credibility and respect within the entertainment community, and we are looking at the options available to us to resurrect that label and make it part of the target companies. It's still very much in flux. We don't know how it's going to work out, so I can't say exactly how or if it would work out. But, you know, it's the only independent studio to not only win 32 Oscars, but they won the Best Picture Oscar 2 years in a row with Platoon followed by The Last Emperor. And because the releasing strategy of Hemdale so closely mirrors our front-end strategy for Target in Hanover House, we thought it was definitely worth exploring the possibility of resurrecting the releasing label. And we have been in contact with the shareholders representing almost 90% of the stock of Hemdale Communications, and seem to be on track to be able to resurrect that releasing label. And that would be big news within the entertainment community.
Certainly. And so what makes the company unique from some of the other players in your sector? I mean,
the first point is that there's very few players in our sector. There's essentially 12 companies in North America that do exactly what we do, and seven of them would be characterized as major studios. So it's really Hanover House and four other independent companies that are competing for the same general market sector, and that market sector I would call would be the quality top echelon independent films. The fact that we have a first-class executive team from theatrical, video, banking, marketing, publicity, to the fact that we also have a well-established and respected book label. These are benefits that I think help position us ahead of the other companies that are in the independent arena that we're in. And I think most importantly, it's the vision that we have and the expertise to implement that vision that means that, you know, other people might be able to have identified what we've done, but I've actually done it as the CEO at Hemdale Communications, and and we feel that with the market is there, we can do it again, and we can build a company that has well over $100 million in annualized revenues. We think that that's a very obtainable and quickly, realistically, reached goal.
Sounds good, and a very good answer. And so what are some of the goals and objectives that the company hopes to accomplish here over the course of the next 12 months?
Well, there's some housekeeping issues that we're currently working on, and what we're working on is getting the financial documents filed and properly recorded, first with the pink sheets, secondarily with the other Securities Exchange Commission type outlets that we need to report to. And we would very much like to move the company off of the pink sheets into at least a bulletin board, if not a higher credibility exchange. So that's happening right now as we speak. We're moving pretty quickly in that regard. For 2010, from a standpoint of what we expect to do, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we plan to release 4 to 6 movies to theaters. We plan to release about 30 titles to DVD, and we plan for 5 or 6 books, new release books, to be released in 2010. It's difficult for us at this time to put a dollar figure on what those particular items are going to generate, but we do have a strategic goal in a short time frame to reach $100 million in revenues. Now, is that something that's going to be realized in 1 year or in 3 years? We just don't know. It's a lot of it has to do with how the audience reacts to our releases. So, the goal for the company is to become recognized both from the consumer standpoint as well as from the industry standpoint as the quality home for independent cinema. And we think that we're well on the way to do that with the new theatrical items that we'll be announcing over the next couple of weeks.
Great. And so in terms of investors, Eric, do you believe that right now investors understand the general your company's investment story is completely appreciated and understood by the financial community?
Boy, I don't think that the story of what we're doing and how we are doing it is out there right now. I do know that there's a lot of questions about the structure of shares and how the new financing for the company has been arranged, and I'm happy to say that it has not been through the creation of shares right now. I mean, what we're doing with equity is in the form of a credit facility, but all of the arrangements that we have made will be updated on the pink sheet very, very quickly, perhaps within the next couple of days. I think if people took a good hard look at the core business of Hanover House and looked at our assets and our library and our release slate, logically, the shares would be substantially higher. Now, the market is notoriously illogical, and people often react with emotion. And I think that until our financial data is properly posted, and until people see, some year-end results, which is coming right up, or until they just get a little more comfortable with Fred Shefty and I as the principals running this enterprise, the share price could easily just kind of sit there in the hinterlands of where it is right now. It's impossible to say. But we did our venture. Fred and I gave up, a company worth $20 million for stock based upon what our expectation of the value of the company will be. And so far, investors have not agreed with us. And I think that the people who understand the business will probably do quite well. It's like I said, that's a tough question to ask. Do investors understand the value of the company and what we're doing? I don't think that the share price is where it should be. I don't even think it's even close. But that's my opinion. And of course, I'm the guy that put the $20 million asset into the venture. So I hope that my opinion has some credibility.
Certainly. And once again, joining us today is Eric Parkinson, CEO of Target Development Group. The company trades on the pink sheets, and the ticker symbol is TDGI. So before we conclude, Eric, why do you believe that TDGI represents a good long-term investment opportunity to potential investors?
Well, this is not a short-term plan for us. We have I've been in the film distribution business for 27 years, and my business partner, Fred Shefty, who's our president and CFO, he's been an attorney and a banker for over 30 years. So, you know, we're trying to build a company of lasting value, and we think we've got a real solid business plan. It's a 5-year plan for the company, and you know, everything that we've said that we would do, we've so far done and exceeded the performance of it. So, we think you know, we're committed to it, and we think that that's going to manifest itself in bottom line results.
Well, we certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to update our investors today, Eric. Good to have you on.
Well, thank you, Juan. I appreciate it. And feel free to call back in a few months and pat me on the back for our results.
Definitely. We'll look forward to an update.
Okay. Thank you.